All right, 3:05. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. Two more hours as we take you all the way to 5 o'clock. We got Rami on the other side. 888-808-1019. A lot of Yankee talk, obviously. The Mets, as well, have a real problem in the rotation. Obviously, it wasn't addressed at the trade deadline. They addressed the bullpen in a major way. They even brought in Mullins, who I think will be productive. Hasn't gotten off to a good start. They lose 2 out of 3 against San Francisco after being swept by San Diego. So they have now lost 5 of their last 6 after the 7-game winning streak. But the rotation, after watching yesterday, I mean, you know, we all questioned Frankie Montas. I got a lot of flack from questioning the way the Mets and Stearns went about building the rotation in the offseason. And clearly they did an amazing job first half of the year, even extended into, you know, longer than that. Even with the injuries, they were still getting great quality starts. What they did with Griffin Canning before he ruptured his Achilles was just ultra impressive. And what Clay Holmes did this year and is still doing, I mean, he's kind of fallen off here a little bit, but very impressive. But Frankie Montas was a weird one. Now, we knew it wasn't going to be a top of the rotation guy, but they ran out and gave him 17 per over the next 2 years. And a guy who's really struggled. And right now, he's just not good enough to be in this rotation. And for a franchise, and as much as, you know, we talk about urgency with both teams and decision-making and Stearns and how he handles things, and there was a lot of talk while they were really dealing with the injuries, right, as they were still waiting for Sanger to come back from his hamstring, waiting for Manaea to come back. Obviously, then you lose Griffin Canning, Paul Blackburn, in and out with back issues and whatever else. The refusal, instead of, you know, bringing up some of these bigger prospects that they have, going with Tidwell, going with bullpen games, going with whatever, like right now you look at it, you've got 50 games or so. I think they've got 48 games left. I think they've played maybe one or two more games than the Yankees. So there's 48 games left. You're half a game out in the division, right? So, I mean, you're pretty much tied with Philadelphia for the division. You're firmly in the playoff hunt, obviously, and firmly in the wild card standings as they are 5 games up over the Cincinnati Reds for the final wild card. So they're in a much better standing than the New York Yankees. But you look at this group, and it's about winning a championship, clearly, right? And they've went out and attacked the trade deadline more than I thought they would, to be totally honest with you. I think you were looking at, in my mind, probably the Mullins is what you might have figured. But as far as the bullpen, I would have thought lesser arms, lesser capital given up, lesser draft picks given up to give up Gilbert and some of the other prospects. I was a little surprised by it. And it was a great move. And much, you know, like Brian Cashman, I praised both trade. We all did. I thought everyone thought both teams did extremely well at the trade deadline. And Stearns went out there, showed aggressiveness, and got 2 legitimate big-time arms to the back end of the bullpen. And that, along with Diaz and, you know, Stanek and Reed Garrett, as they sent down Barazovan. But, like, that's a deep, good back end of the bullpen. And Brooks Raley, like, that's a good bullpen. And those are big names. And guys having tremendous seasons and tremendous careers that you just brought in here, paid more capital than people would have expected. The Rogers trade was an overpay and whatever else. Like, aggressiveness. But for whatever reason, they have not been aggressive and willing to bring up these prospects. And I understand the thought process of, hey, you know, when you call a guy up, you want to call him up and just have him up here. You don't want to, you know, do this necessarily. You don't want to have him a spot start back down to the minors, which, I mean, I don't think it would kill their development, but okay. But now this is the push. Now you have an opportunity looking around the rest of the National League. I mean, you want to tell me that the Milwaukee Brewers right now have the best record in baseball and the best record in the National League, obviously. You want to tell me the Brewers are unbeatable? Right? You got the Brewers, you got the Cubs, you got the Dodgers. I know you got swept by the Padres, but you got the Padres, like, and the Phillies. The Mets are better than all of those teams, or could be better than all of those teams. And instead of continuing to throw out Frankie Montas, you look at the numbers. Now, Sprout had his issues early on in the year. He wasn't putting up the same numbers as McLean or the same numbers as, Tong in Double A. But he's your top prospect. In the month of July, he has put up excellent numbers. I believe his ERA is under one for the month of July. Like, last year, you showed, like, the Mets were the best thing about the Mets last year in many ways is if you played well, you continued to play. That's it. It was a meritocracy. And right now, Frankie Montas doesn't deserve to be in this rotation. And giving one of these kids a chance is absolutely what they should be doing. And I don't know why they're so hesitant to do it. And right now, you would think this is the spot, right? Guys aren't coming back from injury. You're not waiting on anybody else. There's clearly a rotation spot based on the idea that he has not pitched well, Montas. You've also got issues with Clay Holmes. And if one of these kids stick, could you see the bullpen having Clay Holmes added to it as well as Frankie Montas? Because you're not going to cut Frankie Montas. He makes too much money. But, like, why not bring up Sprout right now and see what he could do for the last 40 games of the year? Right? Give him 4 to 5 starts. I know the team has been much better with extra rest. Even if you don't take Montas out of the rotation completely. Like, there's a spot for one of these kids to see if you could find an answer for another postseason start. Because right now, let's be honest, like, you feel good about Manaea. Senga has not been good his last 4 starts, but you expect him to round into form to at least get to a spot where you feel good about him pitching a 5-inning game or 6-inning game. Peterson's been solid, but outside of that, like, Clay Holmes right now in a playoff game, you don't feel that great about. Frankie Montas, could you even throw him in a postseason game right now? Like, there is definitely room. This isn't the same thing, middle of June, waiting for injuries to come back. You're going to have to send him down after a start or two. Like, there is a clear-cut need and a clear-cut role for a young pitcher to come up here and earn his way onto this team and earn his way into the rotation. And to me, I don't know why they would keep throwing out Montas. And I wouldn't be surprised if the Mets do make that move, because the Mets have been aggressive here. And you can't keep throwing out Montas. Like, he's just not been good. And let's be honest, he hasn't been all that good in a long time, since before the Yankees traded for him when he was with Oakland. Like, that's the last time he's been really good. He's got a strong arm. He throws 98 miles an hour. But it's just not there. He's inconsistent. It's just not been good enough. So I understood the trepidation before, but now it just makes sense. Now it just makes sense because you went out there, you bolstered the center field position, you bolstered the back end of the bullpen. The only thing really missing with this team is clutch hitting, obviously, and I don't think there's anything you can do about that. But go out there and impact this rotation with one of these young prospects that have been pitching their ass off in AAA. McLean, I don't know if it's McLean or McLean. I know it's spelled McLean. But McLean has been excellent all year for them in AAA. And Sprout get off to a slow start, but his month of July has been incredible. Bring up these kids, put them in the rotation. Put one of them in the rotation. See what happens. It's better than throwing Frankie Montas. And again, these guys typically look at their numbers. Look at Senga's numbers. Look at Peterson's numbers. Like, they all pitch better on extra rest. I think it's time to call up one of the kids, man. I don't know what they're waiting for. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Ray in Waterbury. What's up, Ray?
Hi, Chris. Great show as usual. Oh, great monologue.
Oh, I appreciate it.
I agree with you. Let's put it this way. You can't be throwing out pitchers that go 4 or 5 innings every night. And that's what they've been doing.
Yeah.
Montas
has even given you quality 4 or 5 innings.
No. And that's one mistake Stearns made. That was a head-scratching signing in the offseason.
It was their first one they gave him $17 million per for 2 years. It just jumped out at me as like, now again, we all said it when it happened. It was early on in the offseason. We were like, well, they're going to sign other pitchers. He's going to be your fourth or fifth starter. It makes sense, but still a lot of money. And they ran to go do it. Like, they believed in him. They believed they could fix him. They believed he would be a candidate for the resurgence in the Met pitching lab. And it just, again, injuries probably set him back, but it's just not there right now.
You know, Chris, it's absolutely dictates they bring up McLean or Sproul. Mm-hmm. You know what? And you have to. I mean, so what? So he doesn't pitch. He doesn't pitch a good game right away. You keep him here. They're down. This is the sprint now to the end of the season. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I'll even take a chance on bringing Stroman here instead of Montas.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, you know, I know.
With his history,
you know,
and then he can't. I mean, he just can't. He's got a nibble, and I don't know.
He can't.
He doesn't have the stuff to throw it inside the strike zone and not get hit. Like, it's not there anymore.
You know what? I hope they don't replace Montas Ekblom. He's just as bad. I don't care the injury. He's not any good.
Black
the bottom line, every other team brings up their big prospects. How many times have you watched a game and here's this guy making his first major league start for this team and that team, and they're a top prospect from last year? You know what I mean?
No,
it's time.
It is time, and it's not as common as you think, especially for teams that are, you know, securely in the postseason trying to make their stretch run. It's not as common as you'd think, but it fits the Mets right now. There's no reason not to do it. There's just no reason not to do it. And, Frankie Montas has just been bad. And you know, you'd like to get a pitcher in here who's, you know, built up and can go deeper in the game. And, you know, first time through, teams getting a look at him, you might be able to get deep into the game. This is where I don't think Stroman. I don't think there's a pitcher out there you want to pick up. I really don't. There's nobody going to, like, just bring up the kid. I think they will. I wouldn't be surprised if you see him for the. I wouldn't be surprised if Stroman doesn't make his next start. I'm sorry, Stroman. Montas. I wouldn't be surprised. I know for a fact Stroman's not making his next start. I wouldn't be surprised if Montas doesn't make his next start. Or even piggyback him. I don't know, something. 888-808-1019. Stuart in Brooklyn. What's up, Stu?
Another disappointing weekend.
Yeah, more than disappointing. This one was just...
This was terrible.
Yeah.
But to lose to them for the first time ever...
Well, swept,
swept. And, you know...
I don't get hung up on that, but that's fine.
What? What'd you say?
I don't get hung up on the first time. I saw them celebrate a World Series championship in Yankee Stadium. I'm going to get hung up that it's the first time they got swept.
No. We're not going to get it. I was more upset by 0-3 than this.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, like the idea, oh, my God, they got swept by the Marlins. I watched them celebrate a championship in the Bronx. I'm not that hung up that the franchise has never swept them before. Like, but I'm not saying it's good. I'm not trying to I'm not trying to say I'm okay with it. I'm just saying I don't get hung up on the idea it's the first time. I'm more just concerned about the present team than the history of the Yankees versus the Marlins.
They are playing unbelievably awful baseball.
Yep. Complimentary bad baseball. When they hit, they don't pitch. When they pitch, they don't hit. When they do both, they make mistakes. Like, it's just, they find ways to lose. And what's so frustrating is, like, what really bothers me is, think about where this Yankee team was, Stu. Up 6-0 off of a 3-game winning streak against Tampa and with the trade deadline acquisitions that we were all hyped up for. They open up the game, big home run from Stanton. Big home run from Grisham. Mm-hmm. Like, boom, it's 6-0,
and then boom,
and then disaster, and then it followed the rest. It set up the rest of the 2 days.
The problem with that was the 3 acquisitions give up 9 runs.
I know, and then Caballero blows the ball in right field.
Right, and somebody said Rosario was in right field on, I think, Saturday or one day. They said, no, Rosario is not out there. That was Caballero. What was he doing in right field?
He's playing right field.
Why wasn't Cody?
Yeah, I mean, he's Cody was playing first base. They pinch ran for Ben Rice. Like, right. Again, I don't. A lot of people, you're not the only one who said this. Like, I don't understand the. Like, we can get on Boone for a lot. And right now, I opened the show screaming about him. But
he pinch hits.
I get it. I'm not trying to defend Boone. I'm just saying this was the situation. He pinch hits Ben Rice for Goldschmidt with two outs. Ben Rice comes through with the base hit. With two outs, he pinch runs Caballero, who leads Major League Baseball in stolen bases. He steals the base. Ryan McMahon gets a base hit up the middle. The run scores. Then Volpe adds on with a double, scores the second run. Caballero is already into the game. They move Bellinger to first, and they leave Caballero in the outfield. He is not strictly an infielder. He's played 31 games this year, and now 32. 32 games in the outfield this year. When they played the Yankees in Tampa at the first series of the year, he robbed Ben Rice of a home run out there. He is not someone who's never played the outfield. He's got over 31 games and over 200 innings in the outfield. There's no reason why he should run past the ground ball. That's not on Aaron Boone. That's on him.
I'm not saying it's on Boone. I'm saying he shouldn't have been out there.
Why not? Who should be out there?
Bellinger.
Bellinger's on first base because they ran out of first baseman.
I'd rather put... Yeah, you're right.
Yes, I am. Thank you very much. Thank you. I finally got one. And again, I don't want to be doing this, and I hate that I fall into this trap with you guys because I'm mad. I'm mad as hell. And I don't want to take it anymore, and I'm mad at Boone, and I'm mad at the team. But then we call up and just say things that don't make sense, and I got to push back. I don't know why. I should just say, yep, you're right, they suck. Yep, you're right, they suck. Like, why isn't Bellinger in right field? Because they ran out of first baseman. Because they pinch ran with the best stolen baseman in the league. He stole the base, and it led to the lead run. That Aaron Boone did exactly what he should have done, and it should have worked. He went to the wrong pitcher in that inning. That's my problem. That game needed to be won. This is where I'll get on Aaron Boone. That game needed to be won. You've got a two-run lead after blowing it. Your team battles back. They fight for you. They take the lead 12-10. And then you go to a reliever who, listen, I still think can play a major role down the stretch. I still think that Bednar and Doval can be huge pieces and will be big pieces for this team. I'm not ready to declare the trade deadline a failure off of that game. I know you all want to desperately. Like, it's going to play out. We'll see. Those are two quality arms having good years who are good pitchers. He's a closer for the San Francisco Giants before he came here. He's going to be fine, I would think. You never know, but I would think. But after the other two pitchers failed in such a colossal way to be able to be lucky enough to have your offense bounce back and retake the lead, you should have went to your guy and not asked Doval the first time in a Yankee uniform to go out there and close the game in a game that both other relievers they traded for blew it. It was just a feeling. You could sense that coming. I'll give Marash credit. He tweeted it out before it happened. You could sense it. You can feel that game. Like, it was the pitchers who came here aren't successful tonight. Give it a rest. He should have went to one of his guys. He should have went to Weaver or Williams. He called Williams the closer. Go to your closer in a game you can't afford to lose. And that lack of urgency and that blown save and that game went right into the next 2 days where they don't show up. Unacceptable. Unacceptable. Jonathan in Manhattan. What's up, Jonathan?
How you been, Chris?
What's up, buddy?
Good. I got so much to get to. I've been listening to the fans since day one and following you for years, but I've never called your show till now.
Okay, well, thank you.
Yeah, and, you know, I want to talk Mets and Yankees. I was at the Mets game today. I'm a Mets fan. I really appreciate your passion for the Yankees, though, obviously. At the Mets game today, terrible effort. I agree with you on Montas, you know, that he stinks. Stanek stinks, too, by the way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is like Kyle Farnsworth all over again, throwing like 101 in straight.
Yeah.
So
Stannis got, listen, and he pitched well for them in the postseason last year. And, you know, he's not going to be one of the premier arms at the back end anymore, but I still think Stannis can be, you know, part of the better bullpen. We'll see. But, yeah, he's not overly – he doesn't miss enough bats for the stuff he has. That's fair.
Yeah. I know you like him somewhat, but, you know, we'll see if he turns it around. Let me get to the Yankees because – you know, a lot of what you're referring to, you know, with the 2023 Texas Rangers and the 2018 Boston Red Sox, they got hot at the right time, you know, and that's what it's all about. You know, it could happen with the Yankees. I feel that the league is so watered down. There's just not a lot of good teams. Mm-hmm. That's one of the reasons why it can happen. And you know, going back to even getting Soto. The Mets getting Soto, you know, that just never happens with the Yankees not getting the big star. There's not even that many big stars out there. So they go, you know, they get Fried and Bellinger and Goldschmidt, and they weather the storm for a while. But, you know, it just seems like now, like you said, with the defense and everything else. I wanted to also bring up one other thing. I noticed Tim Hill, I saw on the telecast that he has the most appearances.
Yeah.
And it's funny that they didn't go to him in the most important time in the World Series when they went to Cortez. I was just thinking that got to me also. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, listen, we've gone over that a million different times, Jonathan, and thank you for the call. I didn't hate it as much as everybody else hated it. I know, shocker. I thought watching Nestor pitch against Otani in his career, I thought that was the matchup. I think that's why they put him on the roster. They put Otani on. Like, the minute Nestor Cortez made the postseason roster, I knew they were going to pitch him against Otani in a big spot. Like, that's why he was on the roster. And then people forget, but Mookie Betts was hitting second. So you got to bring in someone. Now, if it were me going back to it, I would have just started the inning with Weaver again and made him pitch two innings. But you've got, two runners on, one out, Otani coming up. And it's Otani and Betts. You got to get out a right-handed hitter as well. And I don't think they love the matchup. And again, you got to have him face three batters. So the idea that, like, Hill would have had to get out Mookie Betts, they just like the matchup of Otani, and then a starting pitcher more comfortable getting out right-handed batters in Mookie Betts. Now Otani pops up. Obviously, it takes Verdugo into the outfield kind of seats, runners move up, and now it opens up first base, and they decide to pitch around Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman. And then he throws a fastball down the middle and gets beat by it. So I understood it. I didn't hate it as much as everybody else did. I know he hadn't pitched in a month. It didn't work out. I'm sorry, I don't like that situation for anybody, to be totally honest with you. I don't like first and second, one out, Otani, Betts, Freeman. I don't like any option the Yankees had to win that game. Like, we talk about it like Hill would have came in and got the outs. We just don't know. Maybe he would have. In hindsight, I'd try anything else because what they did didn't work. But again, first and second, one out, up a run, Otani, Freeman, Betts coming up. I don't love the Yankees' chances. And I don't think Tim Hill, as great as he's been in the most appearances in the league this year, I don't think Tim Hill goes in there and blows people away. Throwing one pitch. He's been great. I love Tim Hill. And in hindsight, sure, why not? It would have worked out better than what happened. But I think at that point, they're in trouble no matter who comes in to pitch. Steve in Rockland, what's up, Steve?
Oh, man. After that debacle on Friday, you had to bring that back, up, Chris, man. If the Yankee fans aren't traumatized enough,
I didn't
anyway.
Bring it up. You think I want to bring up Game 1 of the World Series? I don't.
Man, anyway, I got to tell you though, Chris. In a way, I can't blame the Yankees. I can't blame them for wanting them to unwrap and play with their shiny new toys. You know, that game on Friday night.
Yeah, I mean, again, I don't play.
China. There's that aspect of it. I'm not disagreeing with you. You know, like that they, that maybe, well, you know, it didn't work out. When it doesn't work out, that leaves the whole hindsight 2020 thing.
Yeah.
Just wide open.
Yeah.
I mean, it just.
I was first guessing it. I watched the game late, so I didn't go out on Twitter because I'm, you know, Fridays I promised my, we've been watching the Billy Joel thing, so I promised my wife that I would watch the Billy Joel documentary, and then I put on the Yankee game, so I didn't tweet it out, but I was first guessing it. I did not want Doval in that game. I had no problem with Bird. I had no problem even Bird facing Stowers, and he gives up the Grand Slam. I understand Bednar's got good numbers against lefties. Even with the Grand Slam, they're winning that game. Like, he's trying to push everybody back. He's trying not to use everybody. You know, Bird's going to, and thank you for the call. You know, Bird's got to get that out. Like, or even if he gives up a single, it's not a Grand Slam. Like, he's got to, I had no problem even with that. You could have argued to bring in Bednar right there and face Stowers. You absolutely could have. Absolutely. I didn't hate it up five runs. Like, up five runs, I got to trust my pitcher not to give up a Grand Slam. So I would have, you could definitely argue to go to Bednar there, but it didn't bother me. Then going to Bednar where when he went to him didn't bother me. Like, those guys, this is one of the best relievers. I had no problem with that. I had no problem with anything he did until Doval. That's where I really, and I was saying it to myself as the, I was like, and then the baseball gods give us the first out, a ground ball to first base, no less, cut with the pitcher covering, which has been an issue for the New York Yankees since, obviously, the World Series. But he gets that first out of the inning, and I go, okay, you know what? Maybe it was a good move. Maybe it'll save us from thinking the entire trade deadline was a disaster. You got the pinch runner, can't help them score the run to take the lead. Doval comes in to close after the first out. But going into that inning, I thought, I got to go to one of my guys. I got to go to a guy I trust. When the game was tied 10-10 and Doval was warming up, no problem going to Doval. If they didn't take the lead and it was 10-10, I have no problem going to Doval. But when they take the two-run lead, I need that win. I can't blow that game a third time. I have to go to my guy that I've seen do it in my uniform. Now, that doesn't mean Williams couldn't blow the game. God knows we've seen him blow enough. Doesn't mean Weaver would come in and get three outs, 1-2-3. We don't know, but I would have felt better about it being my guy. Doval, in that situation, you can't ask him in that wacky game to step in and be the Yankees' closer the first time he's in the uniform. I thought it was a terrible decision. It showed that he was more interested. And again, this is where I'll play devil's advocate even with myself. Who knows? Like, who knows if that rest helps Devin Williams, helps Weaver, and they're better down the stretch because of it. And the Yankees go and rip off 12 of the next 14, and it's based on the bullpen, and everybody's great, and ultimately maybe making sure those guys had a day off helps. I don't know. But in the moment, he cared more about the making sure the plan was there and that the guys got rest than he cared about winning the game. Because you can't tell me that you believe Doval was the best option in that moment. He wasn't. And it wasn't like they were sitting because they'd thrown two games in a row. It was just overall overuse. You had, as the last caller put it, three shiny new toys who hadn't pitched all that much because they were getting traded. And it was like, oh, it makes sense. But then after the nature of the ups and downs of that game, having a six-run lead, having a five-run lead, being down a run, coming back, tying the game, then taking a two-run lead, that's a game you must win. At that point, you knew Toronto was losing. If they hadn't lost already, I'm not sure. Again, I started the game late, so I'm not sure. I wasn't watching it at the same time as the Toronto game. But they were down big. So it was either Toronto had already lost or Toronto was down big. The Red Sox had won in walk-off fashion against the Houston Astros. You needed that win. You needed that win. And the manager chose to stick with the plan and make sure everybody had rest. 888-808-1019. Nick Monagle here with you. 334. Quick break. We'll come back with more of your calls as we take you to 5 o'clock in the warm-up show right here on The Fan. I just saw a stat. I didn't realize it was this bad right now, but I mean, I knew Soto was struggling. He is hitting 130 over his last 46 at-bats. He has really, I mean, him, Alonso. I know Lindor hits the home run lead off the game. We've seen a little bit better from him. I don't know if the toe is bothering him. I don't know what's up with Pete. But that top of the order just has not gotten it done. Just hasn't gotten it done consistently enough. And Juan Soto really struggling. And again, I got a lot of flack from Met fans when I said Cody Bellinger's had a bigger impact on the Yankees than Soto's had on the Mets. It's not even debatable, really. I mean, Soto's the better player. If I was picking a team tomorrow, I'd pick Juan Soto. I think tomorrow. Like, we all get that. But it's just watch, you know, he just hasn't had that impact. He's been okay. He's had a very good season. He absolutely 100% should have been an all-star. I'm totally on board with that. He had a 900 OPS and he's Juan Soto. He's an all-star. It's stupid that he's not in the all-star game. But at the same time, as solid as he's been and as many home runs as he's hit, you just can't look at his season and say, well, yeah, he's really helped. Like, he hasn't had enough clutch hits. He hasn't come through enough. He hasn't had enough of those moments where he's really put the team on his back. And, you know, for so much of his career, certainly in Washington, he was that guy. For the Yankees last year, even with Judge's MVP season, for the beginning of the start of the season, he was that guy. Then in the postseason, he was again, and that's the hope. The hope is that all this goes away, and come postseason time, he'll be Juan Soto. But right now, he's really struggling. He's swinging at pitches outside the zone, which is so unlike him. Like, that's his greatest strength, is knowing the strike zone. Like, forget everything else. You know, forget his home run prowess or anything else. His greatest strength is a understanding of the strike zone that is Barry Bonds, Ted Williams-esque. Like, that's his greatest strength. And as he's struggling here, which, again, he struggled at times for the Yankees. He wasn't always perfect. He didn't hit 400. And he struggled throughout times of his career. But it feels like he's outside the zone more than ever, which is very unlike him. And I think that speaks to a little bit of pressing. And it's just a different kind of pressure. World Series pressure, and whether this was part of the reason he wanted to come to the Mets because he didn't want to be with Aaron Judge, I don't think it had a huge role. I think it was the money, number one, and number two, some of the comforts, and number three, I think he trusts the owner to go spend a lot of money every year. But if part of it was, hey, I want to be the guy, and I'll never be the guy with Aaron Judge with the Yankees, which, I don't know, it's silly because I think in 4 years he could very easily be the guy. But if that was part of it, I think I think he's struggling with it a little bit. Now, again, he's not playing bad, not killing him, but he's going through a slump right now. And overall, he just hasn't been very good with runners in scoring position. He's having a miserable year. In the clutch, he's having a miserable year. He has been an unclutch player for the New York Mets, which is shocking because his reputation is built on being clutch and well-earned. And it's got to change. And the hope is that he flips the switch in the postseason. And typically those are hopes that we don't really love to hang on to. But with Juan Soto, it's a better hope than most. But it's got to happen. Same thing with Alonso. Same thing with Lindor. Those guys got to be there for them in the biggest moments. Because you look at this team, like, the bullpen's much better. The rotation has its issues. The lineup, the back end can struggle as well. But they are built on the top four hitters in that lineup. They must be the driving force of this team, and they just haven't been. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Let's play a little audio here. I guess this was Saturday because that's when they work on Fox. But Derek Jeter and Alex Rodriguez, who do the Fox broadcast, the Major League Baseball Fox broadcast.
Well, they picked it up, by the way, on Sunday, too. We could get into that.
They picked
what up? That Fox game ended up getting picked up on Sunday. Did you see all that?
No, I didn't see
that. With the racetrack?
No.
Just because I brought it up. But
yeah, I got it.
So they had the game at the racetrack, right? That was the big thing. That's why there was a Fox game this weekend.
Yes.
There were tweets coming in calling it the Fire Fest of Major League Baseball. You know what Fire Fest was, obviously, which was that festival that ended up being an epic fail with Billy McFarland, who ends up going to prison for it because it was deemed fraud.
Correct.
Fans showed up to this racetrack. I forget the name of the racetrack, but it's a game between the Braves and the Cincinnati Reds. And fans show up to the racetrack. They ran out of buns, hot dog buns, in the first inning. So the only food options were hot dogs without buns and nachos.
And this was on Sunday?
This is on Saturday.
Oh, Saturday.
Saturday evening.
Okay, Saturday
And nachos evening. With no cheese.
Okay.
So those are the only two food options, at least from the first inning on.
Okay.
There's a rain delay, so no one can play in this game, right? So there's just, so no one's playing, and they didn't have a good enough plan for where the people would go in the rain in the event of a rain delay.
Okay.
So people are getting drenched in the rain, and then they try and play the game through the puddles anyway on Saturday night, and eventually they call it after one inning and push it to Sunday. Yeah. So people, and there were seats that were totally obstructed view because the seats were really far from the stadium.
Yeah,
so there's a racetrack around the stadium.
Yeah.
So the entire thing, start to finish, was a disaster. So they had a ton of time to kill on Saturday, which is how they got into the conversation about the Yankees.
Yeah.
That's why Derek Jeter and A-Rod are bashing the Yankees, which we'll play in a second, but because of the issues that were happening during the game. And then Major League Baseball is like, all right, we'll just pick it up on Sunday. And they're still like tweeting about it like it's this great success. It was awful. It was terrible. The fans, and if you watch the highlights from Sunday, no one was there.
Yeah.
Because how many people bought a ticket to Saturday evening and then said, you know what, I can't make it Sunday.
Like, of course.
You're going, it's a special trip. Yeah. It's not in Cincinnati or in Atlanta. So they were making a special trip to go on Saturday. I don't know how many fans ended up being at this game, but it was a disaster. I don't even know if they fixed the food for Sunday, but
I would hope so.
It sounded like a total disaster.
Yeah, I mean, they've had a lot of successes with some of their stuff.
The Field of Dreams.
The Field of Dreams game is incredible. I think a lot of people like the Little League game that they played at Williamsport and all those things. But yeah, this one at the racetrack, apparently. I didn't hear that about the food. I knew it was rained out and picked up on Sunday. It was just the way you said it was throwing me off. But yeah, I knew that they played the rest of the game on Sunday. I didn't hear that thing about they only had pretty much, you know,
the pictures.
They had Tostitos and bunless hot dogs.
Correct. It was actual just Tostitos. It was like those round chips.
Yeah.
I don't know the name of the brand, but those round corn chips.
Yeah, those round corn chips for nachos. Yeah, that's funny. But because of all that, we did get to hear from Alex Rodriguez and Derek Jeter, who had their comments. Now, at the All-Star game, Derek Jeter picked the New York Yankees to win the World Series. But obviously, as of the play as of late, he's had some thoughts. So this is Alex Rodriguez and Derek Jeter talking about the current New York Yankees.
Eventually, you have to say, enough with this. There's one of the best teams in the league. I don't think they are, because we're now in almost August, right? And the numbers say that they're not the best team or one of those best teams. And like Derek said,
they got the talent.
The talent they do have. But to Derek's point, you can't outrun mistakes day in and day out, both physically and mentally. And where's the accountability? If any one of us made a mistake, we would be sitting our butt right on the bench. I mean, I see mistake, and there's no consequences.
The thing that's concerning, it's not just the pit. Look, the bullpen struggled yesterday. They're going to struggle. New team, new surroundings. It takes a while to adjust. They make way too many mistakes. Way too many mistakes. And you can't get away making that number of mistakes against great teams. It just doesn't happen. You know, and you know, they had base running mistake today. We saw the guy get thrown out at home plate. You can't continue to do it. You have to clean it up. I mean, it's that simple. There's no excuses. You have to play better. If you don't play better, you're not going to go very far.
Yeah. So that's two of the Yankee former greats, obviously the captain, and Alex Rodriguez talking about it. And who doesn't agree with clean up the mistakes? I totally agree. We didn't even talk about the terrible decision from Rojas to send Grisham on the base hit from Stanton. There is no doubt. The coaching is lacking. And again, we get mad when he yells at a coach, too. He doesn't yell at a coach, we're mad. When he yells at a coach, we're mad. I get it. But that was a terrible play, and then Jazz is a terrible play. You got to clean it up. Derek Jeter is obviously 100% right. And now, where's the accountability and all this? I do have one question for Alex Rodriguez. I do have one question for Alex Rodriguez, though, because he said in that cut that if anybody sitting in those chairs were to make a mistake, they'd be putting their ass on the bench. Well, I guess I just have one question.
Popped up. Third base side. A-Rod and Jeter. And who's going to get it? They drop it. Oh, man. This is an amnesia game. They want to forget they played this one. Obviously, neither one heard the other. Jeter shading his eyes. Ooh.
Ooh, the great Jim Cott. I remember Joe Torre running out there and taking both of them off the field. I remember he went right out there and he said, get the hell off the field. I think it was Joe Torre. It could have been Joe Girardi. I think it was that long ago. I remember Joe Torre, right? He ran out there and he said, that's it, you two. On the bench. Accountability. Oh, wait, no, he didn't do that. Maybe Alex Rodriguez was wrong when he said his ass would have been on the bench. I don't know. But here's the point. All jokes aside, they're 100% right. I don't think accountability is the biggest issue, as many do. We could just differ on it. But they got to clean up the mistakes, plain and simple. And I also agree with Poppy. They have the talent. They have the talent. They've got to clean up the mistakes. They've got to play better defense. They've got to clean up the mistakes. I think we all understand. To me, you know, ripping Jazz off the field doesn't make him not make that mistake again. That's just, I don't see it. But where's the accountability? I don't know. But where's the winning baseball? Hopefully over the next 50 games. Now, I get it. Both of them are absolutely 100% right. Like, you can't make mistakes against good teams. We've seen it. Everyone sees it. You can't do it. You're going to give these teams extra outs, they're going to beat you. You give the Yankees extra outs, they should beat you. Like, that's it. But I do agree with Poppy. They have the talent. I do think this is one of the better teams in the American League. They're not playing like it. And that's why I'm more on Aaron Boone. I'm less about accountability and more about underachieving. This team is better than this. This team is better than this, and they haven't played like it. Because I look at this lineup, they're on par with like the 23 team. That 23 team sucked. Had Willie Calhoun and Jake Bowers and Billy McKinney, like in the middle of the lineup, Franchy Cordero. Like, this is not that team. This team should be far better than this. Far better than this. And their response to that Friday night game with how they played on Saturday and Sunday, it's just unacceptable. That's not responding off of bad losses, not showing fight, underachieving. That's when I start to look at a manager. More so than Anthony Volpe throwing balls in the dirt. Let's go to Mark in Bayside. What's up, Mark?
Well, how are you, Chris? How you been doing?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Feeling good overall. I just came back from a weekend in Monticello, so I feel pretty refreshed. Won a few dollars at the casino.
Nice.
So,
look at you.
Thanks. Well, believe it or not, I love to play blackjack, but I didn't want to play at a $25 table, so I played the slots. And you know, yesterday I actually won $85 on a penny machine, which I think is pretty good.
Yeah.
And you know, I came out a winner. I won $80 on Saturday. And I made a nice comeback from being down 44 on Friday, so I feel real great. I'm actually going to put a few dollars in the bank tomorrow. My hotel for the weekend was $170. I'm putting $100 right back. I mean, you can't beat that.
No. What else happened? Did you have any good meals or anything?
Yes. We had some good meals. I mean, we ate at the Best Western.
Sure.
My friend Marty and my friend Albert.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I recommended it for a short stay. And what we did was we ate at the hotel. We had a coffee shop on Friday. I had a chicken Caesar salad, which was pretty good.
Yeah, croutons in it? Shaved Parmesan on top?
Right, yeah, 100%.
Oh.
And then I had chicken fingers, which I shared with a friend.
Oh, the chicken classics. You're going with the classics. I could see that. You're a man of classic taste.
And then Saturday I had sesame chicken for dinner.
Oh.
One of my favorites.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's for all from the coffee shop. They make the coffee shop.
Yeah, we went to they have two Chinese restaurants. One is a regular sit down restaurant, which we preferred, but you had to make a reservation in advance. And the other one is one of those where it's kind of like a fast food type.
Yeah,
you know.
Let me ask you a question though. Do you think sesame chicken is just General Chow's chicken with sesames on it? Sesame seeds on it. That's all
really
it is, right? That's all it is. That's all it really is. I mean, you know, it's General Chow's with sesame seeds on it. But
anyway, I want to give you my evaluation of the Yankees.
Oh, you want to talk Yankees? Okay, I wasn't sure.
I'm a diehard, long-time Yankee fan, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been to 7 World Series games, which I'm really proud of. And the thing that hurts me is like you were talking about the fundamentals with this team. They won 3 out of 4 from Tampa Bay. They made great moves at the trade deadline. I was really psyched with a series against the Marlins.
Yep. And then they're up 6-0. They're stealing bases. They're doing everything you'd want them to do. He's got no hit through 4 innings. I know he's walked a couple guys, but Rodon's throwing a no-hitter through 4. They're up 6-0. They're hitting home runs. They're running the bases. They're stealing bases. They're doing everything you could want them to do. And then it all just falls apart. I mean, not even falls apart. Let's be honest. They give up 4, and then they get it right back. They get a 3-run home run. Now they're up 5 again. They blew a 6-0, a 9-4, and then obviously a 12-10 lead. I mean, it was just it's one of those games, and they didn't recover from it. They didn't recover from it. The rest of the weekend played out, yeah.
That's why I agree with you 100%. I always like Boone. He's a great guy. He's a player's manager. But there are times where the manager has to step up, and take responsibility. I know, in the post game he tries to give his evaluation. But my feeling is, like you, this team is 10 times better than the 2023 team.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it, Mark, and thank you for the call. This team is far better. Far better than that team. That team stunk. Like, let's be honest. And that's why I said I have yet to feel like Aaron Boone has underachieved as the Yankee manager. I know many of you disagree with me. I haven't felt like there's ever been a season where I'm like, Jesus, man, this team is way better than this. This is a joke. I honestly haven't. 18, they win 100-plus games and lose to the champion Boston Red Sox. 19, they win 100-plus games, lose to the Houston Astros, who have been the best team of the decade. 2020 is hard to read. Weird season, 60 games, but lose a series they shouldn't have and pulled some nonsense in game number 2. We don't have to go through all the seasons. 22, I thought that he was to all the injuries they had down the stretch to get to 99 wins and get to an ALCS. I didn't think they got embarrassed and swept in the ALCS. But like overall, I have yet to feel like this Yankee team has dramatically underachieved. Today, that's what I feel like. Today, I feel like this team is dramatically underachieving. And that's when I know I've defended him at times. I still don't put Jazz's decision on the base path on him. I still don't put Wells not knowing how many outs there are on him. I know many of you do. I feel differently. But when I start to see a team, not fight, not show up after a heartbreaking loss, not rally, and just continue to underachieve as a group, that's when I start looking at a manager. And right now, we'll have discussion about this. Hopefully, it changes with this series in Texas. But I don't think they'll do it. But Aaron Boone's seat better be freaking hot, because he's been awful this year. There's just no two ways around it. He's been awful. The team has played awful. They are floundering when I still think they're pretty talented. And that game off of the trade deadline, like you said, the trade deadline, the excitement of all the bullpen pieces they added, the idea they were off a 3-game winning streak against the Rays, who aren't world beaters, but inside a division that the Yankees can't beat anybody. And then they get off to the good start like that, and you're getting great pitching and an explosive offense, and they're running the bases and everything, and then suddenly it falls apart. And then to follow it up with 2 lifeless performances, this is the first time, and this is something where the manager needs to do something.